I welcome all of you to this today's session. Before this, we had a series on 9 devotional processes, right? Starting from Shravanam Kirtanam, we went all the way till Atmanivedanam. So we were thinking of having one more series, and Brajahari Prabhu was very keen to have a series on few important personalities from Bhagavatam. We selected some personalities. Hare Krishna. Okay. And so today we are going to start a new series which will be on important personalities from Bhagavatam. So first personality who we are going to start today is Narad Muni. He is one person whom I think even a child in India from his childhood have been hearing, right? And what is the first thing which comes to our mind whenever we think of Narad Muni? His mischief. And as Sandeep Prabhu said, Narayana, Narayana, right? The way he has been portrayed in various, probably those who represent or those who present these pastimes in front of us, sometimes he's not being portrayed very nicely. I personally, in my childhood, used to just remember one thing, that he was a person who told Kamsa to kill all the 7 children of Vasudev. So he's not a nice person, though he is in a guise of a sage. The way he was always portrayed, that he always gets people to fight, or he will just instigate somebody to do something like that. But Bhagavatam describes a completely different personality. And that is why we decided that we will talk about Narad Muni today and try to understand his qualities and appreciate and learn from him. So Narad Muni, if we know, is connected to Ramayana. Anybody knows how is he connected to Ramayana? Who wrote Ramayana? Correct. Who wrote Ramayana? Valmiki. And who was Valmiki previously, before he became a sage? He was a hunter. And who made him Valmiki? Narad Muni. Even before he came and spoke, the Valmiki's origin itself is because he came in touch with Narad Muni. And then later also he went and described to him completely Ramayana in substance, in short summary, and then Valmiki had written about Ramayana. Ramayana was written when actually the entire Leela had not even happened completely. Ram was still young in his youth. But because he was a foreseer, Narad Muni had described entire Ramayana and it was written down before it actually happened, when Lord Ram was personally in his youth existing on this planet. Then which other pastimes we remember him? Prahlad. Anybody else? If we go into Bhagavatam from beginning to end, every single canto, there is presence of Narad Muni. So we'll try to capture some of them. It's not possible to cover everything about Narad Muni, but we'll just cover some of this. So first is, what do you mean by Narada? His name is Narada, right? And what do you mean by it? Narada word comes from Narada or Narada, right? And Da means? Shubhada means? The one who gives auspiciousness. Narada, the one who gives. And what do you mean by Nara? Narayan. One who gives Narayan to everybody is called Narada. Okay? As we have seen and as we will see during this discussion, that he is a perfect guide, he is a perfect preacher, and he is very compassionate at heart, just like a perfect. He is present at right place at right time. In my childhood, there was a serial coming in on TV that time, Karam Chand. And then at the end of every serial, Kitty, his secretary, would ask that, sir, aap sahi jagah pe sahi samay kaise pahunch jate ho? and he would bite on a carrot and he would say, "Isliye to main Karamchand hu." But this thing comes from Narad Muni. If we see, every time, just perfect time, somehow he would appear. Why? Because he's such a representative of Lord and messenger that he always wants to help anybody who needs any help. And finally, what is the help which he wants to give? Connect them to the Supreme Lord. It is described in Bhagavad Gita when Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna his own opulences in 10th chapter in 26th shloka. He says that out of all the river I am Ganga. Out of all the mountains I am Himalaya. Similarly, he says out of all the demigods and the sages amongst the demigods I am Narada. Lord himself is, Krishna himself is declaring that Narad is not separate than my own self. He is a pakka representative of Lord. We also hear in Bhagavatam that there are 12 Mahajanas. What do you mean by Mahajan? Mahan Jan, right? Great personalities. These are the personalities whom a common man can follow and learn what is right or what is wrong. And Bhagavatam describes 12 Mahajanas. Right? We all have our own Mahajanas. Sometimes we have our sport player or our some Bollywood or Hollywood actors. Everybody has their own ideals. But Bhagavatam describes that there are few Mahajanas in the scriptures or history whom blindly we can follow because they have acted in their life so perfectly that they actually can teach us by their own life. And out of those 12 Mahajanas, Narada is one of the prominent Mahajana. So, what is the importance of understanding Narad Muni? That we start by understanding in Bhagavatam how Lord Krishna reciprocates by welcoming Narad Muni and other sages. We know it is described in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that at the end of Kurukshetra war, when Krishna was residing in Dwarka with all his 16,108 queens, at the time of solar eclipse, they all came along with the Brajavasis also came to a place called Kurukshetra. And when they all were sitting, suddenly there appeared few sages headed by Narada. And who is Lord? Who is Krishna? He is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't have to get up and give respect to others. Especially not to somebody who are just like simple people. But to instruct what is the importance of sages, as soon as all these sages and Narada enters, Krishna and Balaram and all the people, those who are gathered, they immediately get up, they pay their obeisances, they give him very nice seat, and they worship Narada and all sages. And that time, for all of us to teach this lesson for future, Lord Krishna makes very beautiful sentence. Lord Krishna says, "Now our life has become successful because we have got your darshan." And then he says, the water at a holy place, like we go to Ganga, we go to Prayag, right? To get dip because we know it's very auspicious. But what Krishna says, water at a holy place of pilgrimage and deity forms of the God. So many times we go to different temples, right? Rameshwaram, Tirupati, Jagannath Puri. They have deity. They can purify one only after a long time. But saintly sages purify just by being seen. At the end, if time permits, we will also sing a bhajan in which it mentions Gangera parasha hoile paschate pavan. What does it mean? Gangera parasha hoile. By touching Mother Ganga or water of Ganga, paschate pavan, one gets purified of all the sins. Darshane pavitra karo eto marago. And this is for a devotee. Darshane pavitra karo. Just by having darshan, pavitra karo e tomara gun. And that is the power of a pure devotee. And it comes from where? From Lord Krishna himself. He is saying that just by seeing you, one can get purified. And then he makes very important statement. Those who identify themselves with their bodies and neglect to honor these transcendental sages like you are no better than asses. So we might be very educated. We might have a lot of wealth, education, so many other facilities. But if we come in contact with a great sage or a pure devotee of the Lord, and if we do not honor them perfectly, Krishna is blankly saying, "Aap gadhe ho." Right? So, who is this Narad Muni? So, let's go a little bit in short in his past life. Flashback. Two lives ago, he was a Gandharva called as Upabarhana. And as all of you might be knowing, these Gandharvas who stay in the lokas, upper higher planetary system called as Gandharva lokas, they have few very important qualities. And that is, they are singers. They are very beautiful singers. They sing really amazingly, enchantingly. And secondly, they are very, very beautiful. They have very transcendently attractive physical personality. So Upabarhana was also a similar Gandharva. But by nature, they are always engaged in service of the Supreme Lord Hari. But once when such a festival was going on to glorify Lord Hari, Upabarhana came there. But somehow, he was so much feeling proud about his singing and his beauty that he got diverted. And he started singing, not for the glorification of Lord Hari, but in such a way just to show off, just to attract people around him towards himself, not for the Lord. And that is why this is a big offense. If we have any qualities, again Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter that I am the ability in man. If anybody, any one of us have any good quality, it comes because of Lord. So how can we feel proud about it if we have been bestowed? It doesn't belong to us. So because Upabarhana did this offense, he was cursed to go on an earthly planet and become a son of a maidservant. So he became child of a maidservant. But then he was very humble. He had nothing to feel proud about in this life now. His wife, his mother was a widow. And they used to stay very, very simply. Once they came across a time when few great sages called Bhakti Vedantists, they came to that area. And it was a time of Chaturmas, which is going to start soon, like just in few days. And during 4 months, these great sages generally would not travel. They would stay at some same place. So these sages came and started staying in a temple close by to this area. And mother of this small child would regularly go and serve this Bhaktivedantist. And this child would follow and help his mother to serve this Bhaktivedantist. He would do very, very menial services, cleaning the clothes, cleaning the area where they are staying. Very humbly he was doing a lot of menial services. And Bhaktivedantists were very happy to see how humble and simple this child is. And once, when they had left their remnants, with their permission he took that remnants which was left by this Bhaktivedantist. The food which is offered to Lord is called as prasad. Because prasad means mercy and it is very potent. But the food which is offered to Lord, then it is accepted by a pure devotee, and that which is given out from that pure devotee is not prasad, but it is called as Mahaprasad. And that is the potency. It is more potency, it has more potency than even prasad. So he accepted some Mahaprasad from the plate of this Bhaktivedantist, and that immediately purified his heart. And he immediately developed attraction for hearing from this Bhaktivedantist. So he started very regularly hearing when they would discuss Harikatha, and he would start meditating on it. And after 4 months, this Bhaktivedantist blessed him and they all left. So he was staying with his mother. Now he was continuously meditating on the instructions which he got from this Bhaktivedantist. But he was thinking, my mother is a widow and I'm the only child and she's so attached to me, so I should be staying with her. But in his heart, he he was getting attracted to follow the Bhaktivedantist. And Lord always reciprocates. With Lord's arrangement or with destiny, it happened that one night his mother was bitten by a serpent and she died. And that time the age of this child was 5 years. If it is you or me, what would you think? You would start cursing Lord. I have nothing in my life. I'm so poor. I don't have a father. I don't have any facility. I had just one mother. And you took that also away from me. And we would look up and we would say, why? Why me? Correct? Whenever difficult time comes, we always say, why me? Lottery laga to you never say, why me? Right? The time you feel, yes, thank you, it's me, right? But he never asked why. He took this as Lord's desire. And he just, in his heart, felt very strong and started walking towards the north because he had heard that towards north there is Himalayas where all the people generally go for spiritual enlightenment. And he would day and night walk through villages, towns, forest, and finally came to a very, very secluded place in a forest and started meditating on the Lord in his heart according to what he had heard from this Bhaktivedantist. And suddenly he got darshan of Lord Hari in front of him. And as soon as he saw the Lord, the tears started flowing from his eyes. He couldn't speak. He couldn't manage to even say some prayers. And before he could manage to open his mouth and speak, the vision of the Lord disappeared. And then he started looking for the Lord. Where did he go? The Lord was so beautiful. But he couldn't catch that vision again. He started meditating again. I want that vision again. But then the merciful Lord spoke to him and said, in this life, you will not be able to see me any further because you do not have enough credits. Just because of the mercy of your guru, Bhaktivedantist, you could get that glimpse. But continue to render service in same intensity and at the end of this life, you will be reunited with me. So then he continued to do his spiritual life till the end of that life. And at the end of that life, he was awarded an eternal body when he became Narada. And this Narada, this body, is not like a material body. It does not get devastated at the end of material creation. It is described in Bhagavatam that when at the end of day of Brahma, what happens? And Mahavishnu will inhale and entire material creation goes inside the body of Mahavishnu. Narada also goes. And all the jivas, including whoever are us, they all are destroyed. And then when the night gets over, the creation happens again. By that time, Narada just appears as he was. So Narada has an eternal body. And that is a result of his mercy which he attracted from the Lord because he followed very sincerely the instructions of his spiritual master. So now we will go quickly over some of the pastimes of how he is perfect guide to so many people in Bhagavatam. Around the, if you see history, day in and day out, so many people you will see that how they were instructed and they were guided in just perfect way by Narad Muni. So Bhagavatam was written by Vyasadev. Right? He is actually the literary incarnation of Lord. He wrote Vedas and Puranas and Upanishads and then he wrote histories. But then what happened? Somehow he was not feeling happy. He was not feeling satisfied. And then he was feeling very morose. He couldn't understand why. And that time, exactly to enlighten him and to elevate him, Narada appeared there. Narada is first son of Brahma. Brahma is the first created being of Lord Krishna. And from him, the first person who has come out is, his first son is Narada. So the knowledge comes from Lord to Brahma, Brahma to Narada, and Narada to it comes to Vyasadev. So Vyasadev, in front of Vyasadev, then Narada appears and then he is asking, what happened? Why are you feeling so sad? So that time, humbly Vyasadev puts a plea that I have done so much of writing. I have written in detail, given so much of description in all the Vedas and Puranas. But there is something which is lacking. But you are a great personality. You are completely free of any of this material entanglement. Please diagnose what is my disease. Why am I not feeling satisfied? And that time, Narada straight tells him, you are a fool. A person who wrote lakhs and lakhs of verses, who created such big literature, which is a vast ocean of knowledge. If somebody comes and tells you, you are a fool, which is doing PhDs, man. If somebody comes and tells you are a fool, how do you feel? And what do we know in PhD compared to what was the knowledge of Vyasadev, right? But straightforward, very clearly, came and told him, you are a fool. And not only that, he said, you are cheating. Oh my God, he was so shocked. I'm cheating? Why are you saying so? And very, very transparently, very honestly, Narada told that whatever you have written all this while, you have misguided the general population. You have given them so much of karma kand, how to enjoy senses, and maximum you have given them knowledge which will take them to dharma, artha, kama, moksha. But this is not the highest goal of life. You are fooling yourself and so are you fooling all the people in general. Till you describe the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the only means of getting higher or transcendental pleasure in life, you are not benefiting them at all. And because you are not doing anything good for them, how are you going to feel satisfied? You actually want to help them, but you haven't given them what they need. So you are cheating yourself. So here he says that those literatures which do not glorify Lord Hari and its activities are just like a place of pilgrimage for crows. And that is what you have done till now. And those literatures which actually glorify or speak about the Lord only can satisfy the heart. And even if they are imperfectly composed, a liberated person also enjoys reading and chanting them. So this is what you need to do. And this is what is the transparency or honesty of Narada. He did not like try to pacify and beat around the bush and gently try to tell him, maybe you could do this, maybe you could do that. No, straightforward he told him that you are cheating, you are a fool, you are fooling everybody and this is what you need to do. And that time, Vyasadeva understood what is required and after that he wrote, what did he write that time? Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a summum bonum of all the Vedic literature. That's why it's called as Vedanta Sutra. And that is the literature which connects a jiva by giving pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And then he says, like there are a lot of shlokas, but in one shloka says, like he's saying that the material happiness and distress will come and go according to their own accord. So why are you telling them to do this kand and that kand, which they will anyhow get? What we need to work is for the spiritual work. Spiritual consciousness. That is not going to come on its own. And that is what they need to work on. And that is what you should teach them. Next, everybody I'm sure here knows how did he change the life of Valya. Right? Here he shows compassion. Equal vision. Honestly speaking, if we are going out here, we are doing book distribution, or we go and talk to people about higher philosophy, we look around and we see, but who will understand? I will speak to them. If he's somebody who is in shabby clothes, if somebody who is very poor, not properly dressed, beggar on the street, do we start going and telling them about Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam? We think it's not for them. Is it not true? Is it not true? Even when we go out here, if we see Chinese, if we see different things, we think we are not sure whether we should speak. We discriminate, which is not right. A pure devotee of the Lord does not discriminate. He sees a dog eater, a cow, a brahmana, and a chandala, and a dog. Everybody equally. And that was the quality of Narad Muni. when he was going through a forest and when he came across this hunter called Valya, he did not think, he is such a sinful person, forget about him, nothing can be done for him. He instructed him. He told him to, what did he ask him, you know? What was the question which he asked him? He said, why are you killing so many animals? You are accumulating sins, do you know this? You will have to suffer for it. He said, it is my duty because I have to feed my family. Are they going to share your karmas? He said, I think so, obviously. Can you please go and check? And with lot of hopes, Valya went to his parents, to his wife, to his children, and everybody said, excuse us, we are not going to share any karmas. You are doing it, you better take the responsibility. It's your responsibility to feed us. The way you feed us, how you feed us, it's your headache. If you are killing, you better take responsibility. And his eyes were open. Oh my God, popat ho gaya. Right? And then he came. He fell at the feet of Narada and he said, please save me. I have so much of sins accumulated. How can I get relieved? And Narada said, chant. Chant the name of Lord Ram. But he was so sinful, he couldn't speak Ram. What we would think? Gadbad hai. Kuch nahi hone wala iska to. Chalo nikal lo. Right? Narada did not give up. Narada told him, you cannot chant Ram, you chant Mara. Mara, 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 Mara. Right? And that same Valya became one of the greatest of sage Valmiki just by mercy of Narada. And that is why a pure devotee is called touchstone. Just by touching them, just by coming in contact with such great devotees, life of most senior person also changes. Same was another hunter. And what was that hunter's name? Murugari. Similar story. He was also a hunter. He was also killing the animals half killed. And he would feel happy when he would see them suffering. And Narada again instructed him, this is very, very sinful. Change your lifestyle. Change it. And Murugari became a devotee. And after a while, once Narad Muni told his friend Parvat Muni, let's go and see what my disciple is doing. So they both are coming to meet Murugari. And Murugari saw his spiritual master from far and he came running to pay obeisances. But when he was coming, he just stopped. He didn't pay his obeisances. So Narada was thinking, why? That's the first thing we do when we see our spiritual master, pay our obeisances. And what did he see? With his cloth on the body, he was cleaning where he was going to pay obeisances. Why? Because there were a few ants. He now couldn't even imagine to hurt an ant. He removed them and then he paid his obeisances. A person who was feeling happy by seeing the animals suffering and by killing them half, now couldn't even imagine to hurt an ant. This is the effect of association of a pure devotee. Now we all know that Daksha is also called Prajapati. And his King Daksha's main function was to procreate. To fill this universe with different species of. So he had to procreate. That was his responsibility. So with his wife, he first created or he procreated 10,000 sons. And they were called as Haryasavas. And then he instructed them that in the beginning of life, you have to follow very strict austerities. And you should follow Brahmacharya. Get yourself purified and then you come back, become Grihastha and then help me procreating further. So these 10,000 brothers went and started meditating and they were doing very, very strong austerities for so many years. And Narad Muni came there and he saw them, oh my God, these are such nice young boys. And they are dedicating their life so wonderfully. But for what? For getting into Grihasthasharam, their life will be spoiled. Let me save them. So he went and gave them instructions that why you want to do so many austerities which can actually help you getting to a higher place just for getting into this material entanglement. And when he gave them instructions about the spiritual enlightenment, all of them thought, yes, why should we waste our life becoming grihasthas? And they all left from there to become sadhus. And when this news came to Daksha, he was very upset. Still he forgave Narad Muni. And he created next 1,000 sons. Again he sent his 1,000 sons to purify themselves as a brahmachari. And again Narad Muni came, instructed them, and again these 1,000 sons left that place to become sadhus. And that time Daksha was very, very upset. And he, that time, with lot of anger, he spoke to Narad Muni that you dress yourself as a sadhu, but you are a sadhu. Saint. The duty of a grihastha is to have grihastha's children and to have the families. But you are actually misleading my innocent children to become sadhus. And he was very angry. And then he said, I curse you. From today onwards, you will never be able to stay in one place. Narad Muni was very happy. Jai ho! Very happily he went away. This is called very beautiful quality of a devotee called opportunist. They see an opportunity to take somebody to Krishna. What others think, I don't care. I should connect them to Krishna. And in purport, Srila Prabhupada writes very beautifully. Prabhupada writes, it is the duty of any follower of Narad Muni or a Vaishnava to connect people or my people in general to Lord Krishna. And when we are trying in this moment, Krishna consciousness, when we are trying to do the same thing, the parents of many youngsters, boys and the parents of these youngster boys, they are also getting upset just like Daksha. And they are cursing me today. People used to curse Srila Prabhupada. Because especially in America, it's not only that they were becoming sadhus, even if they would become grihastha, it was no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. So, if in those days you would ask these American youngsters that you cannot do these four things, then what is the question they will ask? Then what do? The parents would think that you are not enjoying your life. So parents would feel very, very sad that my children are actually giving up so many things when actually it is a time for them to enjoyment. So Prabhupada writes that so many people are feeling also that we are misleading people when actually our intention is to connect them to higher goal in life. There were two brothers called Gargamuni and Brahmananda. So their parents, their mother also was very upset when they became sadhus and joined Prabhupada. So she came with a lot of anger and she told that, why have you kept my sons? So Prabhupada said that, actually you should give me donation. Because your sons were anyhow in the streets. They were all hippies. I'm keeping them. I'm feeding them. I have groomed them properly. Actually I'm taking care of them. So you should give me donation before taking care of them. So what happened? The mother was very angry. She said, I have anyhow given you donation of my two sons. What more can I give you? So what did Prabhupada say? Thank you very much. So many incidences like this. Even with Giriraj Maharaj. So many people. That when this... And it happens in our life also. I've seen in our youngster age also. When we start taking to Krishna consciousness, if the parents don't know, they start getting worried. Are sadhu ban jayega. Are sab family chodke chala jayega. Do you have heard this? So frequently we hear this, and the parents or the elders in the family, if they do not understand you, they are going to actually be very upset when you start following this lifestyle. But this is what the devotees do. They don't care till they know that they are actually connecting them to the supreme goal. Similarly, you all know about Kuvera's son. The two sons were Manigriva and Nalakuvera. And we know the first time that how, being the son of such rich heavenly treasurer, Kuvera, they were so proud that they were taking bath and enjoying with Apsaras naked. When Narad Muni came, they did not even cover themselves. They had no shame. At that time, Narad Muni cursed them to become tree. So externally, it appears as if he was angry and he cursed them. But Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that anger of a devotee also comes from compassion. If we think in our life, when we get angry, our anger comes from passion. But a pure devotee's anger comes from
compassion.
Right? He gave the curse to these two boys to become trees. When they asked for forgiveness, he said, don't worry. You will be able to see the pastimes of Lord as baby Krishna in Nanda Baba's courtyard, and he himself will deliver you. And true to that, Krishna as Damodar delivered these two boys of Kuvera. And when they came out of the tree and when they started praising and thanking Krishna, what did Krishna say? Excuse me, don't give any credit to me. I did not deliver you because you deserve. I delivered you because Narada had told you. And I want to please or keep the words of Narada. So, lesson which we learn from here is, we may not have any qualities. We may not know. Actually, we do not have any qualities. But when we connect or take shelter of a pure devotee, what does pure devotee do? Out of their compassion, they tell in parampara to their guru, and to their guru it goes all the way to Lord Krishna, please accept this soul, who is sincere, may not be pure, but at least he is sincere. Please accept. And Lord Krishna doesn't know who all are we. But when he gets a recommendation later of a pure devotee, we become important to him. Because no recommendation from a pure devotee goes in vain. And Krishna will say, you want, I will do it. And that is our only hope in life. Take shelter and get connected and never leave the lotus feet of spiritual master. Hold them tightly. They are the only saving grace for us. And that is why we call our spiritual master his divine grace. Because only by his grace we can get the mercy of Lord. And this is a lesson which we learned here. There is a big story here. If we have time, we'll come to this later. How Narada, the point here is, I'm not sure if you have heard about King Prachinavarhi, or Prachinavarhi Sati was called. That here, the quality of Narada is how he was expert. This king was so much entangled in sense gratification. Narada comes and he wants to deliver them. He really has so much of compassion. But if somebody is really feeling I am enjoying, we all might see this very much around us. You ask people, how are you? I'm fine. You tell them that this life is full of miseries. So they will say, excuse me, your life may be miserable. I'm fine. If they do not feel there is any need of higher thing, how are you going to preach them? But Narada is very, very expert, very intelligent. So when he wanted to preach to Prachinavarhi, who was so much entangled in his sense gratification, he told him a story of Puranjana in an allegorical way. How that king left his friend, got married, and then went, finally got very entangled, and finally he was devastated because of Kalakanya. And then he explains that this friend whom I am talking about is none other than Jiva. And we get attached to sense gratification. And then we leave our friend. Who is that? The super soul in our heart. And there is a big analogy what he talks. So basically, Narad Muni, while talking to Prachinavarhi sir, he does not tell him at all that you are completely engrossed in material sense gratification. You are a fool. You are going to be doomed. He wouldn't have listened. So he used the tactic in such a way that he told a big nice story and he was very, very impressed. And when his mind was open, that time he asked, but can you please tell me, make me understand who is this person? And then he says, this person is you. And then he explains to him completely that how you are entangled and you are going to be doomed very soon if you do not take shelter of Lord Hari. And then Prachinavarhi said, ka dimag ki batti jal gayi. So he was very intelligent. He wouldn't just go and tell everybody same monotonous way, this is how is right and this is how it is wrong. He was very intelligently preaching and connecting every single person to Supreme Lord. As we already spoke, Dhruva, right? We have taken a separate class on Dhruva. So I will not go into detail, but one point which I want to take out here is, do you remember when Dhruva left his house in anger? He wanted to go and find Lord Hari. So he was going to forest. And that time Narad Muni just appeared there. Right place, right time. Right? It is Dhruva. Something he does. What was that thing? Do you remember? Scares him. It tells him, go back. You are just a 5-year-old child. Why you are so much worried about your name, fame? Father told you, your mother insulted you, so big deal about it. It's a time for you to enjoy, play, go away. He's trying to dissuade him. Dhruva did not get dissuaded. The next he told him is, he scared him. This jungle, now it has got so many scary animals. Do you know how are you going to survive? You might not get even food. Try to scare him. Dhruva did not care. Like this, he took his taste. And when Dhruva was still determined to go for higher cause, that is a time then he gave him the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. So though he has a fatherly care, but he also knows what to give him, when to give him. He tested him. He wanted to check whether he is eligible enough to take this instruction. Disciplined him. And this is what is, he also has a heart of mother, but he also has discipline like father. He does not only help people, those who are in front of us or in front of his eyes, but he sees beyond them. And in Prahlad's pastime, he helped Prahlad, or he gave knowledge when Prahlad was in the womb of his mother. What was the name of his mother? Kayadu. Right? What was happening? Because she was the wife of Hiranyakashipu, who was such a great demon, and everybody was so scared. So when the demigods came to know that Kayadu is pregnant and Hiranyakashipu is going to be getting a boy, baby now, they were scared. My God, Hiranyakashipu akela hi itna kafi nahi hai kya? Aur ek aa gaya to kya hoga? They were so scared. They said, let us kill this baby as soon as it comes out. And Hiranyakashipu had gone to Mandarachala mountain to do tapasya. So they took the advantage, and all the demigods were trying to take away the Kayadu to a solitary place, and as soon as they had planned that as soon as she delivers, they will kill the baby. But Narada came there. He took Kayadu in his ashram and then took advantage of that few months when she was there. Actually not few months, she was there for a year or more. And then that time he instructed Kayadu and the child inside about the transcendental devotional knowledge. And it is described that Kayadu would fall asleep. She had not actually real interest into listening to this higher knowledge. But Prahlad was very, very carefully listening. And he got this knowledge right in the womb of his mother. And the result was there in front of us. When he was born, he was a pakka devotee. At the age of 5 years, he did not want to play. And as soon as there was a chance available to him, even in the school, during the lunch breaks, in the breaks, he would start doing kirtan. And all the children will ask, you are also a son of a demon, like all of us. How do you know all this knowledge? But he remembered everything by the mercy of Narada. And then we know that he was such a great devotee that he, to protect him, the Lord came in the form of Narsingadev. Right? So this is the mercy of Narada Muni. Narada knows actually everything. He's Srikal Gyani, right? That's what we saw, that he could see that inside the womb of Kayadu is a devotee who can be trained. He could see what is the future. He could see and tell Ramayana even before it happened. But he's so simple at heart that when Krishna was with his wives in Dwarka, once he went there and he goes from one palace to other palace to other palace, and then he sees that at one palace Krishna is playing chess with his wife, in one palace he is doing some puja, in one palace he is having istogoshi with his wife. And he's like, wow, Krishna is great. How is it happening? And he shows amusement, just like a small child. He knows what is that he is the Supreme Lord. He can have expansions, no big deal about it. But he's so simple at heart that he takes as an opportunity to appreciate the Lord's greatness. And we all know the pastime that once when it was the time of Krishna's appearance, and as a rule that time everybody would give donation. Nowadays we have on birthday gift aana chahiye, right? But that time the culture is to give. in charity. So there was a lot of charity being given. And when Narada came, he asked for the charity of Krishna. He said, I will take away Krishna. And Krishna had to start walking behind him. And all the wives, 16,100 wives, they said, no, 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 take. So he said, okay, if you want Krishna back, then you give me wealth equivalent to Krishna's weight. They said, no problem, we will give. So they got a big weighing scale. On one side Krishna was sitting, other side they started putting all the wealth, whatever they had. Gold, ruby, gems, pearls, everything. But Krishna was so heavy, they just couldn't manage. They went till the last resort, they took out their own jewelries from their body to put it on that side. But it wouldn't budge. And everybody was so scared. All the wives were tensed. What does it mean? Will Krishna leave us? This is our life going away. How can we get Krishna back? And who came that time to save them? Rukmini. Rukmini told, take out all the golds and jewels. And she put tulsi. Just the leaves of tulsi on the other side. And that palada, that side went down. Was Krishna trying to teach us something? What is Krishna teaching us? He is not won by the wealth of this world. He is won, his heart can be won only and only by devotion, by serving a devotee. And Tulsi is very, very dear to Krishna's heart. If you offer anything to Krishna, it may be in golden plate. Who cares? Krishna doesn't care. What he wants is love and devotion. And that is why he says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. With devotion, those who give me patram, just one leaf, it even doesn't say patrani. Patrani means few leaves. He says patram, single leaf is also okay. And what is that leaf? Tulsi leaf. And this is one of the very beautiful pastime which comes in Vrajalila. We all know that Krishna used to have very beautiful pastime with gopis, very intimate pastimes. But only gopis could go there. And many, many people wanted to go and enter that Rasleela. But nobody was allowed. On the door, somebody would be guarding. Who was guarding the door, that place? No, Shiva doesn't guard. Vrindadevi guards. So Vrindadevi guards. She doesn't allow anybody to go. If Vrindadevi cannot hold somebody, then she'll call for the help of Lalita Devi. Okay? So everybody is hearing so much about this beautiful pastime which is going on in Bansibad. And people are getting attracted. They want to come inside. Lord Shiva comes. And Lord Shiva says, can I go inside? And he was told that no, inside there's only one male. Rest all are female. So if you want to go, you have to become female. So he agrees. And then Vrindadevi helps him to become a gopi. Right? You all have heard? We have heard this pastime on the day of Shiva Jayanti, like when we did that, right? We've talked about this pastime. Then came Naradji. Narad also wanted to go inside. And he was also told the same thing. You cannot enter in this form. If you want to enter, you have to change to a female body. And he said, no problem. I can do anything to see my Lord's pastimes. And he changed his form. And then he became Naradiya Gopi. I'm not sure if you know, Lakshmi Devi came and she was also wanted to go inside. And she was also told the same thing. She's already in female body. She doesn't need to even change the body, right? But they told that you are in what mood? Aishwarya mood. You are in Aishwarya Bhav. You think you are the Lakshmi goddess. But here what is required is to become simple gopi of a village. To just change to simple cowherd village. Not so much of change required, right? You have to just give up your opulence. Right? Just take matka instead of having so much of jewelry on your body. But she said, I don't think I can make it. And she couldn't. Lakshmi Devi had to just change this much, but she couldn't. But Narad Muni and Lord Shiva immediately agreed to change. And that shows the humility of their heart and sincerity of their heart that they want to be in pastime. What come may come and go, but they're ready to give up that thing. And this is the pastime of Naradiya Gopi. And when he becomes Naradiya Gopi, Lord is very pleased. And more than Lord, Radharani is very pleased. Radharani says, who is this? The new Gopi has come. Then Lord Krishna says, this is Naradji. She is Naradiya Gopi. Then Radharani is very, very happy. She welcomes Naradiya Gopi. And that time, after the pastime has happened, then Lord Krishna personally sits and instructs Narad Muni for 5 nights. And then he gives Pancharatrika Vidhi, which is very, very famous. In Sri Sampradaya, Lord Ramanuja, Sri Ramanujacharya, took all this Vidhi of following deity worship from Narad Pancharatra. So, he has given few scriptures. One of them, what we just spoke about, Narad Pancharatra, which was actually spoken by Shiva to Narada. And he himself has given instruction, which is called as Narad Bhakti Sutra. And in Narad Bhakti Sutra, one of the important things which we commonly quote comes there. He has defined bhakti. He talks only about what is real bhakti, what is absolute truth of a pure devotional service, how to obtain it, and what is not pure devotional service. He talks mainly about pure devotional service in Narad Bhakti Sutra. And there he gives definition of pure devotional service, which we have heard many times. It says, Sarvopadhi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktir ucchate. What does it mean? Sarvopadhi vinirmuktam. Sarva upadhi. We all have upadhis. Doctor, lawyer. We all have our own different upadhis, right? Sarvopadhi vinirmuktam. Give up all your external crowns which you are wearing. Tat paratvena nirmalam. And then what happens? When you give up all these external garments, what happens? You become purified, nirmalam. Then what you have to do? Rishikena rishikesha. Rishikena means using your senses. What do you do? Rishikesha. Rishikesha means master of senses. And what do you do? Sevanam. So when you engage your senses to serve the master of senses, sevanam, bhaktir ucchate, that is called bhakti. He has given very practical. He did not tell, give up everything and go to Himalayas. We all have tendency to see beautiful things. See Lord's form. We all want to hear something beautiful. But no need to go to Bollywood and Hollywood. There are so many beautiful pastimes of Lord, bhajans of Lord, which along with giving us happiness, also purifies us. Just engage all our senses. Lord doesn't tell us that don't eat. Just eat blank khichdi every day or roots every day. You eat good food. But you eat offered. Offer it to Lord first and eat only prasad. So this is how very, very practical instructions are given by Narad Muni in Narad Bhakti Sutra. So I'm going to summarize. There are a lot of teachings in different pastimes, whatever we heard, Narada tells to his disciples, may it be Valmiki or like Valya or Brugari or King Prachinabarhi. He tells a lot of instructions, but there are few which are really instructive. And I've just picked up few. So he says, this is first one is to King Prachinabarhi. He says, devotional service is the only way one can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has made it very clear. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. Pure devotional service is the only way. Then he says the Lord is a supreme controller, best friend, and everyone should take shelter at his lotus feet. In doing so, one's life will be auspicious. Don't we all want our life to be auspicious? We all want, right? We all want to be happy. We all want that. We all should have a smooth, happy life. Auspicious life. But how it becomes auspicious? When we allow the Lord to control us. He is the controller. He is our best friend. And when we will allow Him to control us by taking shelter of Him, our life will become auspicious. One who is engaged in devotional service has not the least fear in material existence. Just close your eyes and think,
Do you have any fear in life?
Is there anybody here who can say, I have no fear? No, we all have fear. We all have fear of few things. Of losing things what we have, or not getting things what we want. All the time lamentation and hankering. That is going on in our heart, in our mind. But do we want it? Actually speaking, we all want to be abhay. We all want to be peaceful. We do not want hankering. Because we know that causes anxiety. But how to become nirbhay? How to become abhay? By taking shelter of the Lord. Because it is said here very clearly that one who takes shelter has nothing to fear. One who knows a secret, who knows this secret is actually educated. And one thus educated can become the spiritual master of the whole world. One who is actually bona fide spiritual master, representative of Krishna, is not different from Krishna. Then the next one, he is giving instruction to Vyasadeva. Whatever work is done in this life for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord is called bhakti. So if you are studying today, if you are doing job today, he doesn't tell that leave everything. If you are in a grihastha, you have a responsibility as a husband, wife, as a son, as father, mother. He's not telling that you have to leave anything. No minus. Only plus. Join Lord in that. Do whatever you are doing, but keep that goal as pleasing the Lord. Because all the achievements in life are big zeros. You might have big car, you might have big degree, you might have big house, you might have very wealthy family lineage. They all are like zeros. But they all get value when you put one in front of it. And Lord is... When Lord is there in our life, every added value, a zero, is going to increase the value. If not, if you have 10 zero or 100 zero, who cares? It's finally a zero. Right? So, when we add the Lord in our life, it will have really meaning to our life. And I always give an example. How do we keep the Lord in our life? Lord should be where in our life? In the center of our life. Right? So I always give that example. That there was a shooter and he was practicing shooting, and then a person who was passing by, he saw that he would draw a circle, he would shoot, and instead of center, sometimes the this bullet will go a little off center and sometimes very far away. But he saw another shooter, and on his board, every bullet was right in the center of every circle. And he was very surprised. How come this person is such a perfect shooter? You know, every time the bullet is in the center. So he started watching. So this person, first person, was going, putting a circle. He would come and try to shoot in the center. And sometimes it would go off the center. The second person would go far away, shoot wherever the bullet will fall, it will make a circle around it. Simple, right? What happens in our life? We have our own circle. And we try then to put Krishna in the center. But then it goes a little off here and there. But if first we put Krishna in the center and make our life go around it, then we're just perfect. But the way we work is an opposite way, and that is why we are struggling. First put Krishna in the center, make all the adjustment around him, and then the life will have no hassles. And last he is saying, by the service of the Absolute Truth, even for a few days, a devotee attains firm and fixed intelligence in me. Consequently, he goes on to become my associate in transcendental world after giving up the present deplorable material worlds. What a relief. Just by serving him for few days. Right? Not saying lifetime. Just by serving him for few days, at the end of this life, you become his associate. What we are giving and what is he giving, is there any comparison? This is called super sale. But problem kya hai pata hai ka? We have always a doubting mentality. If somebody comes and gives $1,000 ka cheese in $10, kuch to gadbad hoga. Check karna padega. I will not buy it. When Lord gives a super sale, just serve me for few days. Just serve me with intense, sincere desire. I will give you everything. We start thinking, itna easy to kaise ho sakta hai? Kuch to gadbad hoga. Doubting. And this doubt We keep on doubting throughout life and the life will go away. So that is why we should take these words very seriously, believe it and give our life. That's what Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said, how many lives you have given to Maya? And what have you got? The cycle of birth and death. Just give this one life to me. And I will take responsibility of taking you back to Krishna. Give this one life to me. And that is that something very great? Again, there's a small story. What is the time? Okay, I think I should stop now. Maybe last story now. That there was one sadhu. So a wealthy man went to a sadhu and was like worshipping him, and then he was appreciating him. And then he told this sage that you are such a big renunciant that I'm very impressed with you. You know, you have given up all your family and wealth and you are just moving around like a mendicant. I'm really, really, really impressed with your renunciation. So the sage told this person that actually I am thinking that you are a great renunciant than me. So this person said, but I haven't renounced anything. I still have my house and my family and my wealth. So he said, that is what I'm telling you. I have renounced these petty things of material world for something higher, spiritual enlightenment, for getting Krishna. But you have given up this greatest of Krishna for these petty things. And that is why you are a bigger renunciant than me. Right? So we all know that in Kali Yuga, when Lord Krishna comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Narada comes as Srivas Thakur, and he represents the topmost or ideal devotee. And at his place, if you all know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started this Sankirtan movement in his house in Mayapur, in Nabadweep. He started doing night kirtans in the house of Srivas Thakur. So he represents such an important personality in Lord's life that Lord started this Yuga Dharma in the house of Srivas Thakur, who is none other than Narad Muni. And for us, if Narad Muni was not there, Vyasa wouldn't have been there, literature wouldn't have been there, Bhagavatam wouldn't have been there. For us, if our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada was not there, the knowledge was there, but it wouldn't have reached us. It is by mercy of such pure devotees of Lord who have taken pain to give this knowledge to us, to change our life. The way Narad Muni would touch and change people's life, so was the life of dear Acharya Srila Prabhupada. We all know that how hippies became happies when they came in touch with Srila Prabhupada. And that is what is contribution of such a pure devotee in our life. And how can we repay such person, Narad Muni, or the people those are coming in parampara all the way to Srila Prabhupada? Can we do something for them? Can we do? What do they need?
Unconditional love.
They are giving us so much. The only thing which they are expecting us to take it. Accept it. And then pass it to others. And that is the best gift we can give. They are giving. But if we do not take it in our life, no fire. So that is what is the message of Narad Muni's life. He's a transcendental spaceman. He can keep on going from one planet to other planet and from material world to spiritual world. And what is his only business? To connect the souls back to the Supreme Lord. And the only way we can actually express our gratitude is by following the instructions which he has given through his representative, following it in our life, and passing it to others. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there is any questions, maybe we can have one question. I think time is of essence. And then if there are more questions, we can take it later when the prasadam is getting served. So any questions? No questions. Oh, yeah. Rudra Chaitanya has a question.
I have one question actually, but just one you said, so I don't know which one is most important, but I just you said that the family, when Valmiki was a hunter, so he went to ask family people, so they actually replied to him that we don't want to share, but is it a fact?
What
that's that. That if they want, they can deny sharing your karma, or they have to share your karma.
Okay. Okay. I was recently listening to Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj's one class, and he was mentioning this very clearly, that when a jiva or an animal is slaughtered, what happens? So, the person who slaughters gets the maximum of karma, but there are other people, four other people, so five people actually share the full karmas. Those who eat, those who cook, those who assist in killing, and for those who are the, like the customer side, basically. So, all these people are going to get karma, but the person who does the act bears the maximum of karma. But if we are just taking it from the market and eating, also it's also going to have karma. So that is a fact that they will also bear karma. But they were very clear in their mind that if you feed us other things, we are fine. So they were not demanding him to kill. They were demanding him to feed, and that's what any family members would expect. So they would have been. They were happy also if Arya was supplying them by a better means. So in that way, they would not be sharing what Valya would take himself on himself.
Small extension to that question. Somebody who is working in a place where, sort of a restaurant, and he is also in the market.
Actually, if today's world, if you see, even when we invest our money in banks, different country, in different ways, investment, finally they are making their money where? Slaughterhouses, alcohol, and smoking, cigarettes, or all those things. You are not indulging in those qualities, but you are putting your money to multiply. And how are they multiplying? Through these industries. We are also incurring our karmas. Maybe a fraction of it, but this is how today's world is. If any business is making real money or fast money, it has to be by this wrong means. So that is a sad part of Kali Yuga. So, Swami, you had a question? Okay. How to practically remove things, this tendency, right? Practically, there is a simple way if we can do, simplify the life. That's what Prabhupada said. If we really are determined, he said, what do you require to live? A piece of land, a cow. Go to a village. If you are having your own farming, and if you have your own cow, that's what Prabhupada said, that is sufficient. And there are people, those who are now started practicing this and showing that it is possible. But somehow or other, we are not convinced that I can manage. And that's why we feel forced to stay in this town and city life. But if you want to come out of this, no other way. Simple living, high thinking. No other way. Simplify the life.
One damage repair approach can be to offer a portion of our
other. Yeah,
that is what I was looking for. Okay. Yes. This is just a damage repair. Okay. So, if we cannot do that, Krishna is very merciful, right? That's what even Anantana Prabhu was saying, Bhagavad Gita. This is the best thing. But if you cannot do this, then what? You stay in city life, we incur karmas, we earn money by this means, but then whatever money is earned, you need to purify it. And how do you purify it? By giving charity. So charity, so then you have to go for purification. First is, you don't allow the mud to come on your body. Not possible, you're going to get dirty. Next is, you find out how can you get purified. So, wealth is purified by charity. Mind is purified by mantras, chanting. Body, consciousness gets purified by doing austerities. So, physically, whatever you want, we have to do. So, these are all different parts, but these are all damage repair. Right? Yes, ma'am.
Just one small. So, also you talked about Narada Muni instructing Kayadu. So at that time, Kayadhu was actually sleeping and kind of disinterested in hearing Narada. So it is said that the child is very much affected by the consciousness of mother while is in her womb. So how is this apparently opposite in Prahlad Maharaj's womb?
Okay. It's a very nice question. Basically, he's saying that you all heard, no? That when she's sleeping herself, how did Prahlad get benefit? Correct. The child gets benefit of mother's consciousness. She was not consciously sleeping. She was falling asleep because she was not interested. So it's a mode of ignorance. It's basically that she's not interested and she is sleeping. So it will be, it is like any one of us. If next person to you, if he sleeps in a class, automatically we start feeling sleepy. It just affects. But if you are strong, then you can overcome that effect. Similarly, Prahlad was so keen to hear this message that because of that keenness, the effect was only that she was falling asleep. It was not that she was inimical. That also, with a strong determination, you can overcome that also. But this was like, yes, we do get affected by mothers or those who are around us, their consciousness. But the only way is to become stronger and have our consciousness much higher above it. First question, which I very recently came to see, that I was thinking that a child comes in the womb of a mother, and to get a good child, people have to have good karma. What karma did this Hiranyakashipu did? He was so nasty. Did he get a child like Prahlad? And I was like, suddenly I was started wondering this, how did he get? And I did not have the answer. But very recently, when Bhakti Rasamad Maharaj was here, I asked him this question. And I came to know something new. So I'll just share with that and we'll finish. That it happened that Hiranyakashipu went to do tapasya to Mandarachala mountain. So he was trying to find a secluded place. That time, Lord Shiva was sitting with Parvati telling the pastimes of Lord Hari. And he was trying to tell, in those times if you know, that they wouldn't talk about Lord's purest pastimes to a person who is not eligible. So, he was very careful that nobody around him is any person, nobody should be around who is not eligible. And obviously Hiranyakashipu was not eligible. But Hiranyakashipu just happened to be there. He just happened to be there. And when he came, he just heard some few words of this pastime going on. So he was trying to meditate and he heard something about Narayan. And he got very wild because he was thinking that Narayan is his greatest enemy. So he said, forget about it, I don't want to be here. And he left from there. So it was very short association of him when he heard Shiva telling Parvati, and he had heard only something about Narayan. He didn't hear much. But he came back in anger. But that anger was so much that he was meditating on Narayan. Narayan, Narayan. He was like very upset about Narayan, but he was thinking about Narayan. And he said, later I will do tapasya, I'm going back home. So he left his tapasya, he went back home. And that time, when he went home, during that period, he impregnated Kayadu. And that child, because his mind, though what was with anger, but was thinking about Narayan, he attracted a soul who was such a devotee. Which is very surprising to me. I did not know this first time. But, so I think we should stop now. Thank you very much for patient listening and for coming here. Maybe we can do 5 minutes kirtan and then we can have prasadam. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody wants to lead kirtan? Okay, I have taken out. Okay, can you take out Kartal from my bag? Unko hi de do. Okay, so we are going to sing this small bhajan. We are thinking now that we'll start slowly introducing. Now, there are beautiful bhajans in the Shastra, so maybe we'll try and sing some bhajans whenever possible. So it's very short bhajan, so please try to follow and maybe we can understand it. This is a bhajan which was written by Narottam Das Thakur and it's called as Vaishnava Vignapati. That means an urge or a request at the feet of a Vaishnava. Okay, so please try to follow.
Ibara karuna karo Vaishnava sa Vaishnava Gosai.
please be merciful to me now. There is no one except you who can purify the fallen souls.
Chaharani kate gele papa dure cha.
Find such a merciful personality by whose mere audience all sins go far away. Sacred Ganges, many times one becomes purified, but just by the sight of you, the fallen souls are purified. This is your great power.
Haristhane aparadhe tare hari na.
One who has committed an offense to Lord Hari, but if one commits an offense to you, there is no means of deliverance. Lord Govinda, and Lord Govinda says, the Vaishnavas are in my heart.
Prati janme kori asa charane radho.
Holy feet in every birth I may take. Please consider Narottam Dar, the Narottam yours, and be kind upon him.
Evaro karuna karo Vaishnava gosa.
Evaro karuna karo Let's all proceed for prasadam, the most important part of the program.
I want to take this opportunity to welcome those who have come for the first time.